Welcome to Stories and Stanza, the podcast that delves into past, explores the world of prose and poetry, and brings you real-life stories. Join us every week as we take you on a journey through the human experience, sharing inspiring stories and conversations that will uplift your spirit and leave you feeling motivated and inspired. Whether you are a lover of literature, a writer, or simply someone who enjoys a good story, Stories and Stanza is the podcast for you. Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Stories and Stanza. I created this podcast to share my journey. And who knows better that no journey comes without its struggles. Today, I have decided to open up about a problem that has troubled me for long. This is part of the Fail With Me series, where I open up about my failures and share how my learnings are deeply rooted in the failures. In one of the previous episodes, I came across something heartfelt from one of my guests, Natasha, who suffers a hemiplegic migraine. When she regains consciousness after an episode, she temporarily doesn't remember who she is. She mentioned that this is an important reason why she chose to write her memoir. Today, I'll talk about something that I want to remember, and in case I forget, I can come back to this recording and remind myself all about it. Last week, I attended a somatic workshop. For those unfamiliar, a somatic workshop focuses on developing body awareness and improving the mind-body connection. It typically involves gentle movements and exercises designed to increase interoception, which is internal body sensations, and proprioception, awareness of body position in space. Somatic exercises emphasize how our body feels while moving. You'll notice sensations like breath, muscles tension, and emotional responses. Eva Engbert organized the workshop I attended, which was called Release Your Anxiety and Anger Workshop. I learned quite a lot from the workshop and decided to turn my learning from this into a podcast. If there is something I have struggled with all my life, it is anger, a culmination of frustration, disappointment, and setbacks. Although the frequency may have come down, it still troubles me today. You might ask me why talk about it as a writer. Once I've chosen to become a writer, I've already decided to open the door to my soul, and I might as well let people into the darkest corners of my mind. I have tried to understand my anger better without success. My mom tells me that I was a baby born with forceps delivery, and till that it actually has a mark on my head, and this is one of the reasons why I get my temper. While there may be medical factors behind this, but this episode is not about that. It focuses purely on behavioral patterns. Anger has mainly worked itself in two ways for me. In some cases, it made me work hard and determined to achieve what I want. And in some other cases, it has led me to lose my temper, grow distant from people, and become a recluse in some cases. I'll unpack the first part of it in a later episode. I have that planned already. In an attempt to understand my anger, I have to go back to my past, and I tried to isolate one reason from another, but I never narrowed down on one. The search for the cause behind my anger led me to disappointment in many scenarios. So I went to this workshop with mixed feelings. I recognize I harbor resentment deep in my heart for certain things, and even though I hate being angry, later I do not have a good control when anger flows out. In the workshop, Eva magically solved the missing pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. So we'll talk about that. The first question to explore is, what is anger? Eva started by saying that anger is the brain's overprotection. I didn't comprehend that very well. It took some time for the message to sink in. What is overprotection, you may ask? Anger is a defense mechanism. It is activated through triggers. It is a natural human emotion that serves as a signal. It tells you something is wrong, unfair, or threatening. Anger isn't just about physical threats. It can arise from hurt feelings, frustration, or a sense of injustice. It can also be a secondary emotion, masking deeper feelings like sadness or fear. So why do we say overprotection? Modern life includes social and emotional threats that can trigger anger despite no physical danger. The challenge is that our brain is constantly learning from the past, from trauma and heartbreaks, learning unquestioningly and forming neural pathways. When a similar situation arises, the brain resorts to a refusal, a denial, or a reaction to protect the pain related to the memory it triggers. This is overprotection because it's not needed. Eva gave a perfect example. Think about smoke. We may see smoke and run away, assuming it is fire, whereas it might just be the toaster with a burnt piece of toast. So let us understand neural pathways. A neural pathway is a communication highway in our brain. Some nerve fibers called axons form and connect different neuron groups. These connections allow signals to travel between various parts of our brain, enabling us to do all sorts of things, from learning and remembering to moving our muscles and experiencing emotions. Neural pathways play a role in habit formation. Repetitive behaviors strengthen the pathways associated with those actions, making them more automatic over time. This is the crux of anger. As I said before, the brain is constantly learning from the past. When something terrible happens to us, brain keeps it in reserve, that is, it creates a neural pathway. So when a similar event occurs, brain shuts down and the logical mind tries to protect us from experiencing it again by releasing a set of hormones, including adrenaline, which becomes a cocktail that we get addicted to. Thus, the real reason of the trigger remains unsolved. Everyone knows how addiction works in some capacity. This is what happens when we get angry. We can think of the reasons for anger as frostbite. They are blocks of ice that can give us an achy feeling. To properly feel, we must embrace what anger means to us. It makes us feel pain, sadness, disappointment, sometimes tears. The moment we let it go, we melt those ice blocks, and it tells our brain that there is an alternate path. This alternate neural pathway takes the healing path. Eva explained this from different perspectives in the workshop, which I never thought was possible. How do we know our anger? The answer is through self-awareness. What is self-awareness? Self-awareness is understanding ourselves, our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, and how they influence our interactions with the world. It's like having an excellent internal compass that helps you navigate your emotions effectively. I think we allow anger to happen because we do not let ourselves have enough time and enough healing. We are intricately busy navigating through life as one problem gets tangled with another. In anger management, self-awareness plays a crucial role because it allows us to do a few things. Identify our triggers. The first step to managing anger is recognizing what sets you off. By being self-aware, you can identify situations, people, or even thoughts that typically make you angry. Recognize early warning signs. Anger often follows a predictable pattern. Self-awareness helps you recognize physical and emotional cues that signal rising anger, such as an increased heart rate, clenched fists, or tightness in your chest. Interrupt the anger cycle. Once you recognize your triggers and early warning signs, you can intervene before anger escalates. This allows you to choose a more constructive response. This relates to emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, or EQ, is about understanding, using, and managing one's emotions positively to achieve one's goals. It also involves recognizing and influencing the feelings of others. I know my emotional intelligence is relatively poor. I have let emotions get the better of me. In Eva's workshop, we did some engaging exercises. One of them showed that what we feel in the moment is not at all controlled by additional factors, but by what we keep within. What we hold within is the itch, the frostbite, the neural pathway that tells us to run. Instead, if we take a moment to reflect and look at ourselves, we can find a way forward where we are not constantly hurt. This may be easier said than done, so I am making detailed mental notes to return to if needed. How to increase self-awareness? If you have been with me so far, you probably realize that none of the concepts are that difficult, but something we can easily understand. Schedule regular times throughout the day to pause and check in with yourself. Ask yourself how you're feeling and if there's anything you need. Once we identify our emotional triggers, we can take a deep breath, remove ourselves from the situation, and take a moment to think about what is causing this. Do I have a frostbite? The more we pay attention to our physical sensations throughout the day, the closer we are to identifying early signals of underlying emotions. When we are self-aware enough to spot a trigger, we only need to tell our brain that it is just a piece of burnt toast. There is nothing to worry about. Like a wave, that moment will pass. No reaction is needed. The only way to stop anger is to deprive ourselves of the cocktail it serves. In fundamental terms, anger is nothing but some sort of addiction. Key takeaways from the workshop. I have researched based on what I learned in Eva's workshop, but on top of that, we did a few exercises, such as focus on positivity by cutting out the three C's, criticize, condemn, and complain. Instead, focus on true, kind, and necessary. We can find comfort or discomfort in what we keep within. We do not need to give that kind of power to someone external. It is always a matter of choice. And we can take steps to establish and protect our boundaries instead of compromising and people-pleasing. We can protect those boundaries, and in a way we protect ourselves from any emotional trauma happening to us, and thus from future pain and sufferings. My most important takeaway is that healing, treatment, and reaction through awareness are the things that I must address and build it into a routine. It is possible to rewire our brain, and our healing journey starts there. Thank you for listening. As usual, I will end the episode with a poem. Love surrounds me as much as the wall. The warmth of care, the jest of curiosity. My home, my woman, my tree. Estrogen kitchen, my black bag of desire. Love begets love and swallows brackishness when the water gets muddy. And trust me, the water is bound to get muddy in a pond with two frogs. As much as stuck they are, they also make sense of the world to one another. A world they will never see. And just for a day, to put aside the years of bitterness, they will joyfully croak together in tandem, in cacophony. They will only remind you of love language you might very well have spoken yourself. Thank you. See you in the next episode.